Hello, and welcome to the Marketing and Engagement Podcast, brought to you by 2355 Productions. This podcast is all about exploring different tactics for marketing, but also strategies and techniques to create lasting engagement with donors and customers. I'm your host, Ryan Sarver, and this is episode number 8. This week, we are talking with Sue Ann Werling of Brown County Humane Society, located in Nashville, Indiana. The Brown County Humane Society started back in the 60s as just a group of volunteers, as there were no other animal shelters in the county. That remains to be true today. They eventually were able to get some land and build a small shelter in 1987 that has served them for the past 33 years. This is a really small facility. We've been in it a couple times, but the maintenance costs and restrictions of this original shelter, this building they're in right now, were starting to hinder their work. And so they set out 2 years ago to raise $3.2 million in a campaign to build a new modern animal shelter to better take care of the animals, to better take care of their staff, and also to serve the community. So with that in mind, Sue and I chat about their strategy to raise this money and how they adjusted the strategy through some of the things that they were seeing to reach their goals. Really interesting conversation. Let's jump right in. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Sue Ann. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. Sue Ann, as we begin, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and your role with the Brown County Humane Society and some of the history of the Brown County Humane Society?
Yes, I'd be happy to. My name is Sue Ann Werling, and I'm the president of the Brown County Humane Society. Wonderful shelter in Brown County. We were founded in 1966. So we've got some years behind us here. Our role here in the county is to take care of the cats and dogs. We are an open admission shelter, which means that any animal that a resident of Brown County brings in, we will take it in and care for that animal. Our goal is that we hope to get every animal that comes through our doors adopted. So we do full-on adoptions, and we are here to serve our community.
Yeah. And when you and I met, it's been a couple years ago, there's a pretty amazing statistic about how many animals that you save in your shelter annually. Like, can you remind what that is? Like, how many animals that you're able to save that come through your shelter?
Yes. Consistently since 2009, we've been able to save 90%.
Wow.
Of the animals coming into the shelter. And our recent rates in the past, oh gosh, percentages in the last few years have been in the 97-98% range.
Wow.
So we truly believe we can save them all.
Yeah, incredible. Well, I wanted to chat with you a little bit today about a big campaign that you just wrapped up. And first off, I want to say congratulations on completing your campaign.
Thank you.
Yes. And so for everyone to know, so we started working with you a couple of years ago. You're getting ready to launch a campaign, and you were trying to raise $3.2 million to build a new facility. And you just hit that mark within the last month. When did you hit that mark?
Right around April.
Around
we hit that mark. Wow. And that was amazing, because here we are in the midst of something that our country has never been through. And we were able to finish it off in a social media campaign blitz to finish off our final number to reach the 3.2 million. So we were just absolutely thrilled and very, very excited that we were able to achieve that.
Yeah. And just so everyone knows, you guys, this is not meant to be derogatory. You're a pretty scrappy organization. You're a small organization. You don't have a huge team here, but you've got a lot of great volunteers, and you're working out of a very small, very aged facility now. And you took on this really big, audacious goal of raising 3.2, and you hit it.
Absolutely. It was, wow, what an undertaking. You're absolutely right when you say scrappy. I believe that we literally use every single inch of our current shelter the best we can. And our current shelter is over 30 years old and it's tired. Mm-hmm. And so many things in today's environment and animal welfare are so different than they were 30 years ago. So having and being able to raise this kind of funding to be able to build a new shelter and have the appropriate environment for our animals, for the people walking through the doors, and for our staff and volunteers is really very important.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit about how you raised $3.2 million. That's a big number. And, you know, when we first met, we were talking about, we produced a video for you and we went through some messaging things and we produced a really nice video. And the plan was for you to use that like in small group settings. I think the original plan was like to do some meals, invite people over, watch that. And so it was originally designed in small groups, but that's not necessarily how this all turned out. So, Sue-Ann, tell us a little bit about what you did and how you raised this 3.2, because the plan kind of changed.
It did. We envisioned, when we first started this whole project, we had a group of four of us that was part of the, quote, capital campaign committee. And so the four of us had these big plans that we were going to have several large gatherings where we could have 40 to 60 people. We could show them the video, of course, the dinners, and really, really work the crowd in the way of sharing with them what our story is, sharing why they need to give to us, why do they need to donate to us, mm-hmm. and do that in a big way. So we had several events planned. And none of them really, except for one, and it was probably attended by maybe 35, 40 people. Mm-hmm. Other than that, the other ones that we thought we were going to have, we decided not to have. And the very reason was, as we were going out to our donors and polling them in terms of what would they like to see? How would they like to learn about our project and this new exciting project we're bringing here to our community? Many of them had other things that they had to do. I mean, we all have lives, yep. And it was really hard to sync up everyone's schedules. And so where we thought these events would, again, be a lot more people attending them, the groups became smaller and smaller. And of course, a lot of the venues that you want to have an event like this in, you need to have a certain headcount. Mm-hmm. And so it really wasn't working. And what we found to work the very best was to actually produce really great marketing materials and tell the story through our marketing materials so that we could sit down in front of someone one-on-one and really walk through our history, our story, and then why we feel that a new shelter is needed, and then walk them through those plans of that new shelter. What is a new shelter going to bring to our community? And so we focused on three different groups, and again, all in our marketing materials. And then from that point, we walked through why they should be giving to this particular project here in our community. So we found that to be so much more successful. It's a small community here, so we know on a local level many of our donors. So having those one-on-ones seemed to be, everyone seemed to very much engage that and really wanted to meet with us. So we could meet at their home. Mm-hmm. We can meet to have coffee. We can meet to have lunch. We can meet out in the park if need be. Literally, many of us on that small capital campaign committee had these brochures in our cars. And even when we would see someone that would want to talk to us about it, because word seemed to travel and people became very interested in our project, we would pull out our booklet and we could start talking and talk to literally anyone about what we wanted to bring to our community and to this organization.
Wow. Yeah, and I'm looking at your brochure right now, which I will share with everyone on our website. But I loved, you know, as you kind of talk about this, that you talked about the different audiences is that you've outlined the problem on one of your pages, like the current shelter is no longer available, and then you give the breakdown, like what it brings to the pets, what it brings to the community, and then what also brings to the staff and volunteers, like what this new facility does. Like it's, you've kind of taken this multifaceted approach. No matter who you're talking to, there's something in for them, in there for them, where they can latch onto it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, I think this project specifically needs to speak to what are we going to do for those people, for those animals, for our volunteers that walk through those doors every single day. What is this building going to bring to the table for any audience, really, any person that has touched us in the past? And we felt like this was a good approach. We did work with a local designer here to make it very succinct, very specific, so that there was really no guessing game. We did a color coding for shelter animals were in purple, and we had our floor plan laid out, so everything in purple were for our shelter pets and what we were going to do for them, and then everything in teal was for our community and what we were going to bring to the community in this facility. And then our yellow was staff and volunteers. What are we going to bring to the table for those folks? Because right now, our staff and volunteers, there's so little space in our current facility. It was really important to share all of those special things we were going to do, really for each group that we serve.
Yeah. And I think what's great about this is that you're showing that it's not just about pets. And it's, you're talking about, you're helping people see the broader scope of what you do. And that's a lot of what we do as we work with the nonprofits. It's not just talking about what your program does, but what it does for those around the program as well. And I think you guys have really done a great job of that here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'll tell you what, the brochure here, it's very practical. It's not real glitzy. But it really tells the story, and it's very succinct. So literally anyone on our team, including our board members or our staff, could literally pick up this brochure and sit down and have a very meaningful conversation with a donor.
Yeah. So everybody can be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So were you surprised by this? Everybody's got plans when they start a campaign, I think. We're going to have these events and we're going to do this. And then, you know, things weren't working out. And so talk to me a little bit about how you were feeling when things weren't working out and just like the mindset of like, we've got a shift here. And then how did you feel when you started to see like you're getting this traction a lot more with those one-on-one interactions versus your original idea of having these gatherings to kind of build some momentum?
Well, you know, again, being a small organization, when something's not working, you can shift pretty quick. But when you're taking, you know, the poll as to how people would like to learn about your project, and sitting down in a dinner, a large gathering was just not someone's. Honestly, with very few people, bag of tea. They really, really prefer the one-on-one. So that's when you say, okay, well, let's give them what they're asking for. And that's what you've got to be able to be pretty agile in moving about and changing as you need to. And so, you know what? What's the harm? What's going to happen if we change it up? We try to do the one-on-one. And if that doesn't work, we'll go to plan C then. So plan B worked out super. The momentum that we received almost instantly, the donors very much could relate. And to be very honest with you, this is a very personal thing for so many people. Our community is small. We all care very, very much about each other. Mm-hmm. And really having that informal, very personal approach worked really, really well for us. And so if it's working, you know, why change it up? So we just continue down that path.
Yeah.
And it just continued to work. And then at the end of the campaign, again, we use some social media blitzes and things like that to reach out to other audiences. And that got us over the top. Yeah. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen some of your posts on Facebook as the dirt's moving and things are going. So looks like things are going really well.
They are. And when we broke ground, that was another thing that was very odd for us. Because, again, the breaking the ground is a big, you know, is usually a very big thing. It was for us. But during these challenging times that we're all going through, we couldn't even do that. Wow. So what we ended up doing is we ended up doing a video. I did it here in my office. And so it's like, okay, we have, okay, a stay-at-home order. What are we going to do? This is super important to our community, and it's super important to our organization and to our donors. We want to give it the proper respect. But we also want to be real, very respectful of what's going on around the state and the country.
Yes.
So we did a video here in my office, me alone, and letting everyone know that we're breaking ground today and this is how we're going to do it. Then after that, we felt like it's going to be really important for the future just to continue those photos and videos and things like that out there so people know where we're going and how quick we're going to get there. And again, to all those wonderful donors that invested in the Brown County Humane Society in this new building, it's important for them to be updated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's an important part of a campaign. It's not just raising the money, but keeping everybody, let them know that they're still a part of it and not leaving them behind.
Absolutely. It's very, very, very important because it truly is going to take a community and a village to get this building built. And thus far, that's the approach we've used. And it's about all gathering together and doing it all together as a team. And it's worked out well for us.
Yeah. This is a big number. Was there apprehension when you first started this campaign to thinking like, this is a huge ask? Was there apprehension in any of how much you were asking and trying to get going?
Absolutely. it was scary. It was actually scary. We had never even, we hadn't even thought of that number in that way. Probably 4 or 5 years ago when we thought about the fact that, hey, this is what we're going to need to do for the future. We're going to need to improve our facilities. We're going to need to build a new building. We didn't really have that particular goal in mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was lower. To be honest with you, I can't recall what that number was, but the 3.2, yeah, that's a big number. It's a big number for a small community,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that it really is building our future. It's building the future for the animals coming into the shelter. It's building the future for the organization. And it was a big number, but, you know, you pick it, you go with it, and you do everything you can to make it happen.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Yeah. So what do you think you learned during this campaign through all of this? Again, you know, I keep coming back to this. You guys had some big plans, like you got a big number that's scary, and you know what you need to do to make the future of the Brown County Humane Society continue and flourish and so forth. So talk to me about what you feel like you learned as things didn't always go as you planned. And I think this is a really important lesson, especially right now in the world, as you know, we all can't do exactly what we want. There's a lot of folks that are in organizations that want to have big fundraising events that simply can't. And, you know, they might be putting their goals in the back burner. So what would you want to say to others that you've learned through this, or how you and your team navigated this changes and raising this amount?
Well, I think people have to have the flexibility to change as the situation changes. We found out pretty quick up front that large gatherings weren't going to work for us. And so what what is your next step? Well, we've got to get in front of our donors. We've got to get in front of people to let them know what our project is all about. That's how you raise money. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have that flexibility to move and give it a shot. Try it. If it doesn't work, then move on to the next plan. Don't be afraid to try something different. It may not be what you envisioned, but you know what? That's how you learn and that's how you grow. And oftentimes you grow by just making mistakes. And I don't think that we, quote, made necessarily any mistakes on the campaign, but I think that we learned so much about our donors. I think our relationship with our donors is very, very strong. We try to be very sensitive to what their needs are, mm-hmm. and what their desires are. I mean, they're the folks that are supporting your mission. And so you really have to listen to what's important to them and how they want it done. And then you go from there. And if it doesn't work, then you try something else. I think we have some amazing people in our community. And we have donors that are not only here in Brown County, but we have donors all over that we've touched with all of our adoptions and things like that. We reached out to literally any group that we touch on a regular basis. We kind of grouped these different donor groups together, and then we made a plan for each one. And again, if one doesn't work, then you try something else. I do think that the one thing that helped us greatly in raising $3.2 million is any organization out there that can secure matching funds, mm-hmm. do it. Do it. People want to give so that they know their dollars are being stretched far as they can possibly be stretched. So matching funds were really critical in us reaching that $3.2 million. And that's something I think that was super instrumental in our success there. The other thing is just the community aspect of getting everyone involved really makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel just amazing that there are so many people in our community that really sees the value that this organization brings to the community. And that's such a joy. And we just can't wait until the day we can open up those doors and invite everyone in. Mm-hmm. But we've learned a lot about really so many different people, donors, community, what they want, what maybe they don't necessarily care about. And those things are important because that's how we grow for the future. Mm-hmm. And I think things are going to be different here in the future. And you're right. You're not going to be able to have those big gatherings necessarily. But how can we do it differently to still succeed and make our goals? And we were able to do it for sure. So we're very excited.
Yeah. Again, congratulations. So, Sue Ann, how can we find out more about, if someone's listening, how can they find out more? I know you're still, you've reached the 3.2, but as we spoke a little bit earlier last week, you're still trying to raise some more money to kind of outfit what's going on inside the facility. So if someone's interested, how could they find out more about the Brown County Humane Society and your campaign?
Okay. Well, you can do it two different ways. Go to either one of our websites. And that's one thing I think is pretty important to a capital campaign, which we ended up doing. And to be honest with you, it was a big question mark for us, mm-hmm. is do you run one website, your typical website that we've had forever, which is bchumane.org, mm-hmm. or do we have a dedicated website for just the capital campaign? We ended up going with two websites, meaning our Brown County Humane Society website, which is bchumane.org, mm-hmm. and we had a link, which there's a link on their build that you can link to, our unleashbc.com. And that's where they can learn more about the building and our next phase. We're calling it kind of the 2.0, let's make this a home. And we now raised $3.2 million for our building, but we're now looking to raise more money to be able to make it a home. And those are all those furnishings inside the building that we're going to need. And so again, you can go to unleashbc.com and then you will see a floor plan and you'll be able to click on the different areas in our floor plan for those items that we will be purchasing for the shelter, each room individually.
Well, that's all we have for you today. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you'd like to find show notes and links, visit us at 2355productions.com. Please don't forget to subscribe on your favorite platform to continue to get episodes delivered to you as soon as they are released. In our next episode, we will be talking with Adam Reif, who is an event project manager for Markey's Rental and Staging. Since live events have obviously been shut down, Markey's has been assisting several organizations with live streaming virtual events, and Lauren and I chat with Adam about what he has seen work with these events and also some of their challenges. It's definitely a fun and interesting conversation. We hope you will join us. Until then, take care.